with that.
Okay. Record shows Mayor Cullicott and Councilman Pitts are both present. And Ray Pascal and Steve Franks are both here as well.
Next, we have the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Take a couple seconds, take a look at those and see if there's any changes or anything left out. You good?
With approval?
Approved.
Okay.
Okay, next item. Are we calling, or are he calling, or who calling?
We'll call. There's no public comment, just for the record. We'll call Ray. You want to give me a number?
Yeah, it's 559-841-8248.
This... There's no conditional use permit.
So right, I'm looking at that.
Hello, this is John.
John, Steve Franks, Councilman Pitts, and Mayor Cullicott and Ray are here.
Hey, John.
Good afternoon.
Hi, John.
Hi.
So we have on the agenda a telephonic interview overview of you, by you, of the general plan amendment summary of what we're doing. They have received in their package, so you know, Ray's memo and then your memo of August 6th that regarding the amendment summary. So
right.
I'll defer to you, John.
Great. And if you have not mentioned to the committee already, the reason why I'm calling in instead of coming there in person is because Ray and I both felt that this was a pretty uneventful amendment that we're proposing here, and it would save the city a few dollars for me not to drive down south. So anyway, let me just cut right to the chase. I don't believe that there's anything of substance in the amendment that we're proposing here. It's just to satisfy some changes in state law that are mainly procedural in nature, and they just require that certain pieces of information be included in the general plan that aren't there explicitly right now. So the memo that Ray and I put together just kind of walks through what those new laws are, and the two things that are of most interest are related to flood hazard zones and fire hazard zones. And there's two new laws that say every time the housing element is updated, you need to make sure that you include in your safety and land use elements the latest maps showing where the flood hazard zones and the fire hazard zones are located. And you might remember from a few months ago when we were talking about the accessory dwelling unit ordinance, I think we showed a map of the very high fire hazard zone that's in the a little corner of the northeastern part of the city. Mm-hmm. So that would be the map that needs to get plugged into the safety element, along with a little bit of narrative just to explain what it is. And then with regard to the flood hazard zones, we just need to make sure that the most recent FEMA map is put into the safety element, and it's fine to have more detailed maps available at City Hall, you know, larger scale maps. The map that goes into the general plan can just be standard 8.5 by 11, but we do need to make sure that we have the most recent FEMA maps both at City Hall and also in the general plan. So those are really the two things of substance. A couple other things that are mentioned in the memo One has to do with Native American consultation, and there's been a couple of new laws over the last 10 or 15 years requiring that cities offer Native American tribes that have territory that overlap the city boundaries. And the procedural requirement there is that you contact the Native American Heritage Commission in Sacramento, tell them that you're doing a general plan amendment, and ask them if there are any tribes that have territory that cover the city. And then the Heritage Commission sends you back a list of those tribes, and last week we sent off the request. So within the next week or two, we ought to hear back from them and find out who we need to notify. Because this is a pretty basic, non-substantive type of amendment, I wouldn't expect any Native American tribes that do happen to have any territory in our area to have much interest in it. I'm sorry, was there a question?
Yeah, hang on a second. We don't have any Native American land touching the city, do we?
Not that I know of.
No.
Do we have any Native American land, John, that you're not aware of?
I'm not aware of any.
Oh, they claimed anything around?
but, you know, there may be some tribes that step forward and say, oh, yes, you know, that's part of our ancestral homeland. So, you know, it's just a procedural hoop that you have to jump through and see what the Native American Heritage Commission has in their file.
Okay.
How do you identify what groups you send it to? You just send it out to any?
This Native American Heritage Commission in Sacramento is the folks with the authority to keep records of which tribe has territory where. So the city has to notify them and say, we're amending our general plan. Please tell us if there are any tribes that claim to have ancestral homelands in our city. And so they are the experts. They tell us if there are any tribes. And then if they do, then we have to notify those tribes and tell them that we're offering a consultation opportunity because we're doing a general plan amendment, and they have 90 days to let us know if they have any interest in what we're doing.
Okay.
So there's a couple other things that I mentioned in the memo, but they're really not important for what we're doing here. There was a law passed a couple of years ago that required some things to be done if there are any disadvantaged unincorporated communities, either islands within the city or adjacent to the city. There are none that are near Villa Park, according to LAFCO.
Right.
And then the last thing on there was just that the state updated their general plan guidelines last year, and that's an advisory document that helps planners and others that are interested in the general plan to make sure that they dot all the I's and cross all the T's as they amend the general plan. So we have reviewed those, we followed those, and everything that's in this memo is consistent with what the state has in their latest general plan guidelines. So that's the short story. But if there's any questions about it, then be happy to discuss it.
Yeah, John, when was the last FEMA zone map prepared for Villa Park?
I think that it was around 2015, 2016.
Okay. So it's fairly recent.
I don't have it in front of me.
Fairly recent then.
Yeah, because I was doing a general plan update in a town in Ventura County, and I think the latest that they had up there was 2015. So what we just need to do is contact FEMA, maybe talk to the city engineer also, and go on their website, and then maybe follow up with a phone call and ask them, what is the latest flood hazard map that you have for Villa Park?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so John, I have a question. We have to update our general plan every 10 years, right?
No. There is no, the only element is the housing element that has a specific shelf life. And you recall we went through the housing element process within the last couple of years. The next housing element is required to be updated in 2021, so 3 years from now. But the rest of the general plan, it's normally the state says, well, we think you ought to look at it every 10 years or so. But it's not a hard and fast rule like with the housing element.
Okay, so the trigger at this point, you're saying, is because of the housing element that was just updated.
That's right. These new laws that were put into place a couple of years ago use the housing element as a trigger to say, okay, every time you update your housing element, take a look at these other elements and make sure that they're still current. So it's not as extensive and rigorous as the housing element update, but it is a trigger that says, okay, when you update your housing element, look at these, your land use and your safety, and make sure that your flood hazard zones and your fire zones and so forth are up to date.
Okay, John, I reviewed the current general plan, the 2010 general plan, and made hand markups on it.
Yes.
There are just little bits and pieces of misinformation and so forth there and other questions, and I'll provide that to Steve to send up to you, okay?
Great. Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. So what's your time frame? If you could help us on John a little bit, on what we're doing here, and what are we required to do public hearings? What help me with the process just a little bit?
Yeah, Ray, do you want me to take that?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, okay. A general plan amendment requires a public hearing by the city council, and so what we were anticipating is that we would go ahead and prepare the text revisions and the map revisions, and then bring those back to the CDC, and then get a recommendation from your committee, and then take it to public hearing at the city council. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that the timeline is going to depend on this Native American consultation, because the city council can't adopt this until that consultation has run its course. And that's a minimum of 90 days that if there are any tribes, then you have to give them 90 days to give you comments.
John, I understand there are newer state requirements for the housing element.
Yes.
I'm not sure. How does that fold into our update of general plan? Is there time for us to go ahead and address those comments or those new requirements first before we submit the revised general plan, or is that too far in the future?
Yeah, I would say that the housing element is not directly related to what we're talking about here today. I think because these amendments that we're talking about now are really minor, I would say let's go ahead and get those through the process, and get the land use and the safety element updated with those flood and fire hazard zones.
Okay.
Then the next housing element update is going to be due about 3 years from now, and yes, absolutely right, there were some extensive changes in the law adopted last year by the legislature. So when we do the next housing element update, we'll have to make sure that we incorporate all of those new laws, plus any others that, are adopted between now and 2021.
Mm-hmm. Generally, how would those, what are those new requirements? How would they affect Villa Park?
I'll try to keep it short, because there's several attorneys have done 20-page articles on the changes in state housing law last year. They were, as long as I've been doing this housing element stuff, which goes back to the 80s, early 80s, I have not seen the extensive changes in housing law that we saw last year. So I prepared a 6-page executive summary for it and sent it out to the folks that I work with. To try to cut right to the chase, I think that the most important of the changes are going to be whether, you remember within the last couple of years, we had to amend the zoning regulations for the town center.
Yeah, I proposed
the two
those,
parcels,
yeah.
You know, City Hall and the office building next door. And the reason why the city amended the zoning regulations was so that we could satisfy the low-income housing requirement. Now, the new laws that went into effect last year make it tougher for a site to qualify as an appropriate low-income housing site. And so the rules just get a lot tougher, and one of the new laws is that if you used a site in your last housing element to satisfy the requirement, then you can't use that site again unless you have substantial evidence that the site is likely to be redeveloped in the next housing element time period. And what that means is you have to have some evidence that the owner of the site has it on the market for sale or has talked to the city about redevelopment, basically. So if you don't have that kind of evidence, then it's going to be tough to convince the state to let us use those parcels again. That's why Ray and I have been talking over the last several months about the SCAG growth forecast process that's underway right now. And every 4 years, SCAG updates their growth forecast, and that then gets translated into the regional housing needs assessment. And you may recall when we were doing the housing element, the reason why the city had to rezone some property was because the RENA, the regional housing needs assessment number, I don't remember what it was, 10 or 15,
like 19.
Units, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't have any sites that could satisfy that number, so we had to use the mixed use zone in the town center. So before the next housing element is due, there's going to be a new updated growth forecast, and that's going to be translated into a new RENA. And so depending on what numbers are given to the city, could be the lowest I've ever seen is 2, two new housing units, that's your need. And I worked with a couple cities that we got it down to 2. It'll probably be somewhere between 2 and, 10 or 20, like it was last time. So step one is for us to participate in SCAG's growth forecast process to make sure that the city's interests are represented so that that growth forecast number is as low as we can reasonably argue for. And then when those numbers get translated into housing, the different income levels of housing, again, to review and comment at every step in the process to make sure that the city's interests are represented. So that's a two-step process. First we make sure that the numbers are as fair as we can get them. And then step two is figure out, what sites are we going to be able to use to satisfy those numbers in the next housing element.
And actually, I believe Villa Park's population has actually declined just a tad over the past decade, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because, the empty nesters,
kids move out.
I can't imagine many other cities around Southern California that would have a good argument for why that growth forecast number ought to be next to nothing.
Considering all the businesses are moving to Texas and New York and other places, that takes people with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, John. So, is there anything else?
Anything else?
No.
Okay, John.
Okay, I'll be working with Ray and Steve, and we'll put together some draft revisions. And Bob, we would appreciate seeing the things that you caught in the general plan, and we'll make sure that those get folded in also.
Okay, will do.
We're off the meter then, right?
Okay, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Gonna have our hands full on the next housing element, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right.
It's gonna take some more creative thought.
Okay, the next item would be the informational items, the monthly update of the significant development projects, which is attached in here from Bill as of July 30th. So just a few days old, as current as it. That would be the listing of the significant construction projects. He's also attached the building
so we got
permits.
Public nuisance on
James Road, yes.
And that's still open, and what are we doing about
it? He's working with the owner at this point. That's a front yard.
Uh-huh.
It's on the corner of, they removed their driveway on Center and James.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working with the owner at this point, and they've got, you know, given time frames to move forward on it.
Okay. And also, got a stop work order on Center Drive?
Which one?
18181 Center.
I'm sure you're looking
at this one. What is that?
181
construction.
Okay.
There's a stop work order?
Yeah, I don't know which.
Which house is that?
I'm trying to remember which one is. 18181.
That's not the blue house, is it? Across from Villa Park Elementary?
Maybe.
I mean, I know he put a few bushes out there, but it still looks like shit.
I'll have to verify that. I just don't.
There's this one, 9821 Cannon. Is that the one that's the construction that's going on right above the retaining wall?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be a pool house. It's not going to be a
granny flat.
Pool house just means it doesn't have a kitchen.
Okay, so it's
still it's a separate
little granny.
It's still a separate unit. It's just not a kitchen unit.
Okay. How far back is that from the block, the retaining wall?
Ray, do you know that?
I don't know offhand.
Have you seen that, Robbie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that. The retaining wall has failed twice already.
Where is this at now?
You go up. It's just, I guess, east or up towards Anaheim Hills from Serrano Avenue or Taft. There's that block wall.
That's against the block wall?
It's...
That new...
Right, yeah, it's in framing right now.
What is it? Is it I don't even know what it is. Is that a pool house?
Yeah, I think that's putting it.
That's an expensive damn pool house.
It's a
but
big
that's
one.
Before the way the wall fell down.
Yes.
Yeah. But
that's not where the wall is.
The wall is there. There's a wall there, which is not where it failed.
Where it fell.
Yeah, but the geotechnical, or at least the last geotechnical report I looked at, said that they hadn't evaluated the full wall, but it could fail too. So I'm just curious, what did we consider in approving that development, and how far is it back from the...
I believe they got a full geotechnical study on that done.
They did?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And I can get a copy. We can get copies of it.
I need to see it.
Yeah, no, they did, because they went through a lot of detail on that one with them. Because originally he came in and wanted to put a pool in.
Yeah.
And we said no, because the geotechnical wouldn't support a pool.
Yeah.
So they went through a considerable effort, and Ray, you might have been involved.
Is there a pool in the house?
No.
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 This was
Where's the pool?
There is no pool. There is no pool.
But he's building a pool house.
It's the title is a pool house, but it's not a pool house, if you
okay.
will. It's just not. It's a reference to a house, like it's a separate unit, but doesn't have a kitchen area in it.
Okay.
It's just a reference.
So it's like a granny flat.
Without the kitchen.
Yeah, it's not an independent living unit.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
For the.
Yeah.
But
as far as
under our.
Accessory dwelling
general plan
unit.
General plan update, will that qualify as
no, because it's not an ADU.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we have a number, like we estimated we had 100 ADUs. There are more units that have around the city, but they just don't have the kitchen, so they're not independent living units. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot more than 100 if you go around the city, mm-hmm. but they're just not simply habitable as a residence.
Mm-hmm. As far as setback, Mayor, if you're asking about the setback from
the face,
cannon?
No, from the face of the wall.
The wall. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen plans.
The retaining wall.
Which one?
The one that failed, at least partially failed.
Isn't that south of where it fell?
I don't know.
It is south of where it fell, but it is part of the wall. The wall is still on the same basic
property.
No, it's on the same line, if you will.
Yeah,
right?
It's part of the same contiguous wall.
Yeah. It's just the wall failed in a different location.
Right.
And I don't think they studied that further up. Is that what your point was, right? Earlier, they didn't study the distance up there.
When, at least on the, I haven't reviewed the 2013 failure files, but the 2005 failure files did not address the stability of the wall south on the.
It didn't go beyond.
Yeah. Mm. Villa Park roadside. But we don't know what the setback is from the face of the.
That's what I'll
look. I'm sure there's cross-section drawings and stuff.
I was just riding my motorcycle past, so I didn't have time to stop and estimate. So.
Then Bill has provided code enforcement violations.
We got anybody that's needs to come to full council?
Not at this point. I think they're all pretty much working with them, or say they're working with them. You know, I mean, that's so they make any kind of progress, you got to give them the
one
benefit.
The one over here on Mendocino.
That's the one that's
the one we
he's
been public nuisance.
Yeah,
the owner has made some improvements. the owner's making small improvements. He's moved here and there. So I mean, you know, our goal is to make progress. So Bill continues to push him on getting the progress on there. It's not where we want to be, but it's movement.
Okay.
I think that's sort of. Voluntary movement is always better than litigated inaction, I guess is the point.
And what's going on up on Valley?
Which one on Valley?
We had the dirt situation.
Oh, the dirt is coming in. That's on the property owned by Mr. Skeffington. He is bringing in dirt from these high schools where they're digging up here. He has grading permits. He has a geotechnical guy that came into the office the other day that's up there on site. He is surplusing and not moving dirt. Surplusing means he's piling it up. So he has not moved any dirt to the to regrade or anything like that. We're concerned in there just as a general nature because there is a drain in there mm-hmm. in part of the property. It's I want to say it's 4.5 acres of property. It's pretty big.
Which property is this?
It's one on the end, on the right hand side as you're going up.
There's two
pieces of property. There.
It's a big
cross from Vince's house.
Oh, okay. Billy owns that property?
Oh, no, not that one.
You're right. It's on Valley. You're right.
That's Ted Parker's that you're talking about.
That's
on Valley.
That's what I was asking about.
You're asking on Valley? Okay. Because the one that I was talking about was on Mesa, where he's storing dirt. That's not what Mr. Parker's doing.
I know that.
Mr. Parker and I have met with him. Wow. He is not moving any dirt at this point. He is working through a grading plan. But we have agreed, and he's agreed to, he wants to put a fence up for safety purposes. We've agreed that we could, at his expense, we could have an easement for purposes of putting up a fence. We will come to council with that. We're drafting an agreement with him right now, and he's willing to do it because he wants a safety. He just wants a fence up there. So we've agreed that we'll draft something, and if we want to move it or need to move it for any reasons, at his expense.
It would be at his cost, yeah.
And so that's
it was an encroachment agreement as opposed to an encroachment permit we normally grant.
Was his property involved in the survey too? Didn't we do a survey up there?
He did not do a survey of his property up there. He did not.
No, but did we do a survey?
We know where our line ends.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I mean, did we do a survey on that street?
Yes, we've done surveys on Valley.
And has he done anything in our?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No. But he wants to put up a fence that is still
that
would
be at the normal setbacks and all off the
property. Well, if it's a normal setback, it would have to be down in the
canyon.
in the canyon. So he's asked if he could move it up, and to do that, we've had to say, well, you can't do that. So he said, well, unless you have an encroachment agreement, in which case, if we wanted to move it, you have to pay for it.
Okay.
Because the angle of, he would be down.
But he'll be up on the city right away when he puts that fence up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it would
he
be
knows
a,
that.
He knows that. Mm-hmm. And it would be an agreement that has to come before the full council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're drafting that right now. And said, if you want to do it, fine. But he doesn't want to do it because the fence would be down and serve little purpose in his mind to be down the hill.
Yeah, because it's the slope off of
Valley.
Is it Valley? And then his fence would be down here. So it doesn't serve any purpose for securing and providing privacy for his property.
Well, there's nothing there now. It's just an open piece
it's
of field.
Just, it's just dirt. Open field, right?
Dirt.
Yeah, and that exists as a separate parcel from the parcel that he lives on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's got two parcels there, actually, mm-hmm. and we said that's an interesting thing. If he wants to build an accessory dwelling unit, that was an interesting conversation we had with him, or mm-hmm. you had with him.
Yeah, because he was his approach was to do an ADU on that vacant piece of property. But in our code, it specifically says that an ADU would be allowed as an accessory to an existing house. Mm. So you can't just have an accessory.
But it's not two parcels, right?
It is two.
It is two parcels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what we
one parcel.
Came to realize and
could
point
he,
out to him.
Could he combine the two parcels into one?
He could do a lot line adjustment. He could do a lot merger and do that. And I think maybe Akram pitched that idea to him, and he kind of, well, I'll think about it type of thing.
Does he want to keep it for a future sale or something?
That's probably, if anything, is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so are there any other issues on that street?
Yep. We are right now plotting out. There's easements on both sides that we're going to have to move out on both sides. So we're plotting it out, and we'll be marking that up with as part of the project, the street project. They'll be moving it out on both sides. So they'll be on one side. There'll be some of the pavers that Councilman Rossini has will be moved, have to be, and then on the other side, we'll be cutting into some of that on their easement on the opposite side.
The guy that has the fence?
The retaining wall.
That long house that was built up?
No, that won't be moved. That's Seth.
Yeah.
That won't be moved. It's the one further up. If you know, the street is kind of like angled up. The one we're talking specifically is where the trees are, and there's a wall right there, a 3 foot, 4 foot high retaining wall.
That's immediately, let's see, adjacent to Seth's house, but it's directly across from Seth's house.
That one is one we'll have to probably deal with that wall as part of the thing as well.
Now, do we take it up? When we do the street?
That's what we're going through, how far and how far into it at this point is. So I've got Akram giving me the details of what the distance is. So
I don't know if I want to touch anything until they do it. The homeowner does it.
Well, I think that's what we're trying to figure out. Okay. Where's our line drawn?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Where's our line drawn and whatever and how far? And where's it? You know, my point is I want to be center of the street. I want the survey to show me the center of the street. We're going both sides at 25-foot width on the street.
And be very careful since there's a councilman involved. Please.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the I guess Seth owns right into the center line of the street.
His property comes actually out.
Mm-hmm.
The center line of the street.
You know, that Seth's original house was built in 1928, and that was probably just a drive to get up to that house.
Oh.
And I think the street has just kind of evolved over the years, and nobody really engineered it, and so it's just grown topsy. So I think what
and it's disjointed, and it is there's
is
nothing
that,
there's no straight
that,
line there.
Pardon?
Does that not favor Vince? Does that push the road over?
No, we believe we have an easement. So we'll be have an easement that we'll have to we're measuring out at this point. So
okay.
So it'll affect both sides. Okay. I mean, I think that we've talked to the councilman at that point.
Yeah, in terms of what I've learned on that street is. The location of the front property line is atypical. I mean, it's like all over the page, like Steve was saying. It's in. When I was working on Seth's house, I was surprised how far in his front property line was in the street.
But it's not for his next door neighbor.
Not for his next door neighbor.
It is absolutely not. So I mean, you still got to create a street there.
Some kind of goes like this.
Of a straight line. That's you're trying to create something. That's drivable, safe, too. That's the other concern is that street is, you know, So that's probably the biggest design design challenge we have.
Well, if we have multiple people involved in this, we just need to make sure that, since it's a councilman, that
all people are treated fairly and straight up. That's
No, I'm not saying you're not treating them fairly. Okay. I'm just saying
they're all impacted. We've met with the owners across the street. We've met with many of the people at this point. I just can't give them the details. Akram's giving me the map. We'll be going over to it.
Do we know when that street's supposed to be done?
I don't.
Or are you waiting for the meeting to do that?
The meeting, we should get that detail.
Okay. Cool. You have anything, sir?
No, that's it.
Like I said, I sent you an email on the street maintenance project. RJ Noble has the plan. We're meeting with him, and we'll be happy to get that out. The work should be beginning in about 2 weeks max.
When do we start on the storm drain?
The storm drain, there's a contract you need to sign.
Oh, okay.
In there.
I'll sign
for Ben's, Big Ben. I guess it's Big Ben. I keep thinking of Ben's house. But yeah. Big Ben, because the one that got the contract on.
Yeah.
That is, we're going to start, that'll be starting in late August.
Okay.
We've had a pre-construction meeting there on site with it, and that's been ready. The issue there is you have to pre-order the pipes on that. You can't. They don't have these things in stock. You just pre-order the measurements.
So they're not building a concrete culvert. They're putting a pre-made pipe in the ground.
Yeah, that's what they'll.
Well, it comes in segments.
Yeah.
And then they lay the segments and connect them together.
Because I've built culverts before under roads and under, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. And did her tennis court actually sink?
No.
I could have sworn.
It partially goes up on one side.
I was and it's where up you, there where you the go. Other day and went up to the folks house up there, and I could have swore when I looked down there it looked like it was sunk.
Yeah.
On the one half part of the project, our half includes replacing half the court, because the work they'll have to do to remove the old is going to entail, there's no way to, we're going to have to dig it up. There's no way to dig that old pipe out and put cement in there without having to destroy what she's already got. Mm-hmm. So our goal and the plan is to try and do it and have the center line at half court, if you will, be the point where they can get to and keep it balanced and even.
The center line is to the left of the pipe?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It is in away from the. It
towards the street?
Yeah, no.
Oh, away from it?
It's away from the street.
Oh, okay.
So which would allow us that's what we're hopeful. It's far enough there, they think they can get in and take care of it.
Okay.
So they'd actually do a cut in the court at half court, or half, is that what you call half court tennis,
yeah.
I guess? Anyway, they remove, but there's no way they explored it. There's just no way engineering wise to remove what they got to remove down there without having to and grind them ground down and put all the stuff in safely. So she's aware of that so far.
Okay.
So far, she's anxious to get it going. So.
Okie dokie. Anything else, Ray? Anything else, Mayor? Thank you.